Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody under the sound of my voice, right now we're just going to worship God. I don't care what you're going through, let's just saturate the place with worship. Let's saturate your cars, your houses. Offer it up to Him right now. Whatever you're dealing with, just give it to Him right now. I guarantee you in this moment, if you give it up, He will give it to you. Offer it up now. Everything's gonna be all right.
Somebody sing with me. Oh.
Okay, we're live. Amen. Okay, amen. Well, it appears that we got a little warfare. We're going into prayer right now, amen, because we already know what time it is. Whenever we have greatly anointed people on the broadcast, amen, we know how it go with those of us who are led by the Spirit of God, amen. So we're going to come against this in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your anointing that destroys yokes, God. We thank you, Lord God, for this broadcast, Lord God, for you have purpose and design, Lord God, for you to be glorified and magnified. Lord God, we take authority in the name of Jesus on every demonic force that tries to come against the mantle of God. Enter Praisement Media Group, Lord God, this company who you have purpose for such a time as this, Lord God, with your kingdom-minded people, your kingdom ambassadors, your kingdom agents, Lord God, those who are walking in overflow, Lord God. Those who are walking in your Holy Spirit, God. Lord God, those who, in the name of Jesus Christ, who promote holiness, Lord God, who boldly proclaim the word of God in this season, in this time, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, for your power being released upon this broadcast right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we declare and we decree, Lord God, that all things must line up to the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, touch that man tonight, Lord God, touch that woman, Lord God. Airports, Lord God, even via internet all around the world, Lord God, who are anticipating, Lord God, for your vessel to come forth, imparting the jewels, Lord God, in various angels, concerning the mantle of God on his life in the ministry, Lord God, that you have purpose ordained for him, Lord God. Touch him right now, Lord God. Touch his family, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And, Lord God, touch everything he stretched forth his hands to do in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We glorify you, God. You are God alone. We release angels right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your way. We thank you for the peace that is still right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that the winds are not prevailing. We thank you, Lord God, that the pestilence have no authority. Spiritual wickedness and rulers in high places, they have no authority, Lord God. It's the blood, Lord God. We thank you for your blood right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we thank you right now. By divine appointment, you are here. You are listening to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. You are here by divine assignment right now. God has set you up tonight for a breakthrough. God has set you up in the name of Jesus Christ for a miracle. In the name of Jesus Christ, that the words and the holy oracles that the man of God bring forth tonight, it will confirm what God has been dealing with you on tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that you may find strength in your spiritual walk to pick up your mantle and follow Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we thank you. We have joy. And we thank you, Lord God, that every spirit that comes to oppress and depress, we now cast out by the authority of thy name in Jesus' name to drive places to return no more. You said the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. So we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. And it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Like I said, we are tuned into the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I am your host, Minister Brown, also known as Faith Walker. Amen. We thank you that you're joining us, amen. We got an anointed man of God on here. For those who are regular listeners to our broadcast, it's no strange thing, amen. You know when we have our apostles, prophets, and fivefold ministers on here, especially those who are anointed, amen, you can expect a little bit of things to go, you know, on the opposite. But we thank God he has set the order for this evening, and somebody is going to get a breakthrough on this broadcast tonight, amen. So we're going to have our scripture reading by none other than Vice President of Operations, Davon Prince Redeem Nelson. Receive the man of God at this time. Come forth.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading Romans 8, chapter 28 and going to chapter 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And thus I have read Romans 8, chapter 28 to chapter 29.
Amen, amen. Bless the hearers and the doers of God's holy word, amen. Also, last night, if you haven't tuned into the Cross Road Temple on GQ Palace Radio last night, a young lady was about to commit suicide last night. She was about to commit suicide, but a man of God said, hey, why don't you tune into Crossroad Temple? And amen, she tuned into Crossroad Temple where Pastor AP was the special guest last night. And as I got the message last night, it was the Spirit of God just completely fell on the broadcast. Amen. If you haven't had a chance to hear it, go back in the archive, check it out on GQ Palace Radio, on Blog Talk Radio. For those of you who are listening online, the woman, she was about to commit suicide, and literally God used the broadcast to save her life last night. Amen. I got quite emotional over it, but nevertheless, the show had to go on, but I had to give God some glory last night. Amen. Because this is a way of life for us. This is a culture for us. Amen. Those who are led by the Spirit of God. So I thank God in advance, and amen. I thank him for what he's doing tonight. Amen. We should always look for the shift to happen in the atmosphere when God is involved, and then we are walking according to his laws and precepts. Amen. Also, Prophet DeJuan Holmes Rawlinson, she is ordaining the first set of prophets out of the School of the Prophets down there at the DeJuan Global Institute of the Marketplace Prophets down there in Jacksonville, Florida. She will be ordaining the prophets on the weekend of the 28th, beginning at, I believe, the 27th. Amen. Those of you who are in the Florida area, definitely show your support for those prophets who are going to be released to the nations. Amen. And we need true prophets in this hour. Amen. Apostle Vita Nichols will be definitely down there in the place. So those of y'all, you don't have to pay anything. Just sow a seed as God gives you the ability to do so. But you don't have to pay. Amen. You don't have to pay for this. Amen. You know, these are true prophets going forth. There ain't no shucking and jiving, no hoopla. Amen. Nothing but God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Also, those of you who are familiar with LaToya Smith, amen, LaTanya Smith, thank you, Spirit of God. LaTanya Smith, support her ministry, Simply LaTanya, amen. She's an awesome woman of God who is led by the Spirit of God. She's a New Testament revelator. Support her and her ministry. Also, Pamela Hutchison, she's doing her Strategies for Success conference in Alabama. I believe it's in Birmingham, Alabama this weekend. Definitely support her. Evangelist Shirley Murdoch will be down there. She was formerly an R&B artist who sang a lot of the early 80s songs, and God has transformed her to a woman of holiness, amen, and setting the standard, amen, and just a lot of people are coming to the knowledge through her ministry. So definitely, if you see Pamela Hutchison, whether you be on Facebook or offline, if you're going down there, just support her ministry as well in the name of Jesus. Now, at this time, without further ado, we bring forth our worship and praise leader on the mantle of God, Ambassador Letitia, amen, who's also an artist on EMG. Come forth at this time in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. In a world full of destruction, in a world where men don't believe all the Christians describing, trying to make it, but the devil is always busy trying to destroy and to deceive. But don't you know when God said to his people, for all those who confess and believe, that he's got the whole world in his hand, and prayer is only right, he'll heal the land. If my people, who are called by my name, would just humble themselves and pray. He said, if my people, who are called by my name, would just humble themselves and pray. Oh, pray, and believe that their words would be heard by me. Oh, pray, and believe that words would be heard by me. Oh, seek thy face, turn from the wicked ways. He said, I'll heal the land. Yes, he did. He said, I'll heal the land. I think I'm going to sing it one more time. He said, if my people who are called by my name would just humble themselves and pray. Oh, pray, oh, and believe that their words would be heard by me. Oh, pray, oh, and believe that their words would be heard by me. Oh, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways. He said, I'll heal the land. Yes, he did. He said, I'll heal the land. You can read it in his word. He said, I will heal the land. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face. Amen. That was our worship and praise leader, Letitia. Amen. She's ambassador at EMG. Amen. Who's currently working on her music project. Amen. We bless God for that song on tonight. Amen. Amen. And God is definitely increasing your anointing. Amen. In this season, woman of God. So we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But now we bring forth, at this time, as I introduce our special guest, amen, he's a minister of the gospel, amen. He's a fire, flame, spitting man of God. I don't use that term lightly, amen. People who knows I'm very particular when it comes to preachers, amen. I co-sign this one, okay? I co-sign this one, amen. And he's an author. First book, Unless God Builds the House, amen. You definitely want to get that in your library. And also check the DNA, what happened to our, we are the family, we the family, excuse me. He understands rightly dividing the word of truth. He knows holiness. This man knows holiness. Amen. He don't add nothing to God's word. He don't take nothing from it. He lives by it, amen. I would like to say the word passion, a lot of people use the word passion to describe even myself, but I would use that to describe this man of God. He has a passion for the things of God. He cares about people operating correctly in the things of God. Amen. I bring forth our special guest empowerment speaker for tonight. Amen. We're going to be talking about his mantle, his ministry, what God has purposed for him in this season and in the last days. I bring forth none other than Minister Arthur Weathersby.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, sir.
Amen, amen. It's an honor and privilege to have you in our midst, man of God.
Well, I'm truly humbled to be here, and it's a pleasure to be a part of, of this evening's program, and I know God's got great things in store, so we're just looking to see what the Lord will do.
Amen. Well, we don't have no script here, amen. We spirit-led, amen. And you just going to rock out with us, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ.
So, praise the Lord.
I'm just going to shoot, because I'm going to shoot straight from the hip. One question has been in my spirit I want to ask you. What is your definition now? You know, I'm a minister as well. And we know we're in a day and age where a lot of folk want to be prophets. A lot of them want to be apostles. Where the ministers at? You know, folks are just, you know, getting saved, and the next minute they jumping on out there. But, you know, we just happy to be saved. We just happy to minister to folks, you know, just,
amen,
you know, talk about the goodness of the Lord. So what is God has given you concerning this season, amen, as preparing for the next level in your mantle?
Well, I just thank the Lord that, again, when you allow him to orchestrate everything that, you do in, for him, that, you know, he says that he'll, you know, he delights in our pathway. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in our in his way. I'm just grateful to God that he allows me to be able to do what I do. And it's all about, again, ensuring that everyone has an opportunity to hear the gospel.
Yes.
And not only just hear it, but I do believe that in this season, God has taken us back to the way that they used to do with the gospel, and it used to be taught more than just the way that it's been in the latter part of the 20th century into the 21st century. Because, again, you know, there's so many people that are struggling in the body of Christ that are going through, that have all types of issues that we should not be coming up against. But it's very prevalent. And I believe, from my limited experience and viewpoint, that it has to do with the Word of God not being taught.
Mm.
So that's where the Lord has me. You know, I don't do anything to excite people. I'd rather
right.
you understood what I said as opposed to you get happy over something that, if I ask you what I said, you don't have a clue 10, 15 minutes later after I said it.
No hoopla.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't do what I do to get people excited. I want them to have an understanding.
No, that's right. Well, amen. Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for that. Okay, so
amen.
For all my hoopla fans out there, you know you ain't getting no hoopla tonight. So
that ain't how the Lord uses me. I mean, who knows? One day he might have me do a little hoopla, but, you know. I can tell you this, bro. I'm going to tell you, be straight up honest with you.
Yes.
On a couple occasions, I have tried, but God, you know, he's very strict about what he wants you to do and what he, you know, what he's designed for you to do. And we have
Come
to stay
on.
In our lanes. And,
yeah.
and I just thank God for that because I know that, again, it's not about the excitement.
No.
I know that people look for that, but, you know, that's not what's going to sustain you in this life and get you through this life to glory.
Okay. Okay, so before we get deep, because I've been on Spiritual Sunday where you be at on Sundays.
Yes,
and
sir.
And, you know, I done deep sea dive with you a couple of times. You know, we
yes,
go
sir.
In the scriptures. Amen. So I know we can go there, but to let the people know about you, how long you been saved, man of God?
17 years and about it's almost seven and a half months.
Mm. Okay,
yes.
God. He loved his walk. He counting the months. That's what I'm talking
yes, sir.
About. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes,
Amen.
Sir.
Now how was it that you came to the faith? What made you say, you know what, you can have the whole world, just give me Jesus?
Well, it wasn't something that I knowingly came to the faith on, because, again, we know that we don't have that in our DNA, to
right
our
now.
Natural DNA to want to come to God. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God draws us to him. So the Lord just, you know, presented a scenario for me that was really ironic. It was for me. The process began on June 30th, 1995, and that's the date that one of my favorite singers back in the day, Phyllis Hyman, died and committed suicide.
Mm.
And I remember that distinctly because they did a whole program all day long on BET about her, and I just happened to be watching it. And at that time, I was single, living by myself. I was unsaved. And I was not one that was raised up in church or grew up in church, so I didn't have that upbringing, and of course I did not have any Bible background or anything like that. But I was single, and I was working, and I was really staying by myself, and all I was doing was getting up in the morning, going to work, getting up in the morning, going to work, 5 days a week. That's what I did, and I didn't hang out because I wasn't all that familiar with the area, and besides, it was a pretty rough area of Irvington and Newark, New Jersey that I lived in at that time. So it wasn't conducive to be hanging out, especially when you don't know your surroundings or the people. So I said, well, you know what? I'm not checking out of here like Phyllis Hyman. So I said, well, what am I going to do? And I said, well, I got to find me a bar that I'm comfortable in and do what I know what I can do, although I hadn't done it in a while. Because I came to New Jersey in 1990, so this was in 95. So it had been at least five years since I'd last hung out like that. And I found this bar, reminded me of a place at home, and I was able to do what I used to be able to do, minus the drugs. I didn't do any of that, thank God. And then I did that for several months, and then God orchestrated an event that allowed me to come in contact with this lady who's now passed. Her name was Deaconess Marion Kidd, and she invited me to her church. She thought I was saved because I was, you know, I was a kind person. I was helping someone through a difficult time. As a matter of fact, I was representing them in a sexual harassment case against our manager in the federal government, and we actually were winning that thing, and we did win it eventually, although I'd never done that before. But she talked to me one day, and I told her I was going to come and visit her church, and I didn't. And the very next time I came up, came to this office to visit this friend that I was working with, I went directly to Deaconess Kidd and told her I'm coming to your church this Sunday. And that was on January 21st, 1996, and I've been saved ever since.
Wow.
And I was 43 years old.
Wow. So you yes, had a Moses experience, huh? Oh, yeah.
I say for a lot of times, for my whole story, that God did me like he did Abram. He brought me from out among my kindred. I left with a family, although, he brought me up, from among them. But I did leave with a family, but within 9 months, I was there by myself.
Mm.
And so he started that process from that moment on. Although I believe he always had his hands on me. That was evident when I look back over my life. He always had his hands on me. So that process began, and once I heard the message, wasn't even preached by the pastor of the church. One of his associate ministers, an evangelist named Julia. Her name is Julia Laboon now. She was Julia Gordon back then. She preached a message called "The Blood, the Blood, the Blood." And
wow.
I came up from the last pew of the church. I was sitting back there with the ushers, and I made my way all the way up to the front because the call of the Lord was very strong, and I had no doubt in my mind this was it. I didn't know what I was getting into, but he had his hands on me. He really had his hands on me.
Mm. My Lord, as we
yes,
say
sir.
In the country, as we say in the country, great day.
Yes,
amen.
Sir. It was a great day. It was a great
amen.
Day.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to ask you another question. Amen.
Sure.
I'm shooting straight from the hip. Amen. No script. I'm just listening, just rocking out with you.
As a
man of God starting off single, we now know you're not. But starting off single, what are some of the obstacles that face a man that came out from among them, and we're learning to walk, and now we're walking with him, and now we're going through the whole process of sanctification. Now, for my single men of God, preachers, listen up. What are some of the things that's kept you over the many years you walking in holiness?
Well, you know what? It's no great thing that I've done.
Oh, you took a deep breath on that, huh?
Yes, sir. Because it's no great thing that I've done, but one thing that I am assured of, that my relationship with the Lord means more than anything else. I learned that. I mean, I had that. He placed that in my spirit at a very, very at the beginning of my relationship with Him, and I've always understood the importance of representation, and for me. It's vital that whoever you say that you belong to or that you represent, that you do that well. And
yes.
I don't believe in doing anything that's going to cause someone to look at what I do, who I represent in a bad light. I have that more concern for my relationship with the Lord, and He's always had that, He's had that, just He just had that hold on me in that area. And one of the, I mean, you, there's a lot of challenges that you have as single, you know, being in ministry, particularly if you're a male. Of course, obvious is, you know, the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a challenge. And you know, what I call distractions. But you have to stay focused. You have to know what your relationship is, you know, who you're in a relationship with, and that it requires 100% focus.
Amen. Amen. Well, we bless the Lord. Amen. You're tuned into the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. You're listening to Minister Arthur Weathersby, author of Except Unless the Lord Builds the House. Amen. And also Check the DNA. What's Happened to the Family, am I correct?
Yeah, What Happened to We Are Family.
Excuse me. What Happened to We Are Family.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, what was the inspiration behind... We'll start from the latter. What happened? We Are the Family. Tell us about that.
Well, I can tell you, sir. In my former life, I used to be employed. I worked for the Social Security Administration for about 29 years, and now I've been retired from there for four years and 8 months. Praise God. And I was working in Huntington, West Virginia. And I was talking with my sister who lives in Aurora, Illinois, and she and I converse on a regular. And we were talking one day, and I was listening to her tell me about all the things that were going on in the area where she was living, and it was a lot of things that were bringing a lot of stress on her. And I'm saying, I don't understand this. She has her only child that lives in the same city that she lives in. There's some grandchildren. And one of my brothers were there, and I'm saying, what in the world is going on? Why aren't some of these people recognizing and understanding that there's a lot of drama that's going on around her that they ought not be bringing to her? And so I was talking to her, and it was a joke. I started talking to her. I said, you know, sis, some of these people that we believe that belong to us, they may not belong to us because they're not some of the traits that you would think should be consistent within this family of ours, because her, going back into my grandparents and you know, ancestral side on my mother's side, because I really didn't know my father's side. There's certain types of traits and characteristics, and we weren't seeing this in this here group. And I'm saying, you know, they may not belong to us. And that started out as a joke, and then over time it just evolved. And I said, well, you know what, we need to check the DNA. And then in 2011, 2 years ago, God gave me a message for that, you know, to check the DNA. He gave me a message, scriptural reference for it, which comes out of Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 46th through the 50th verse. And from there, that's where the book was born. Because Jesus, as you recall, he was ministering to some people, and he was in a building somewhere, maybe in a home.
Right.
And his mother and his siblings were outside, and they sent message inside by a messenger to tell Jesus that they wanted to see him outside. And Jesus looked around at everybody that was standing there that came to see him. He says, well, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And who is my sister? He said, those who do the will of the Father, that is my mother, my brother, and my sister. And right then and there, I mean, it was real clear to me that we need to check the DNA on some folks, and not only just in our natural life, but in the spiritual as well, because everybody that, and the Bible tells everybody that named the name of Christ is not necessarily doing the work of Christ. And Jesus dealt with that with a lot of folks that was running around chasing after him, trying to find fault with him, trying to trip him up. Those Pharisees, he called them vipers and hypocrites. And then, you know, you say, well, you know, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me.
Come on now.
So that's where that book came from. And not only that, in looking at the scriptures for both books, I saw a direct correlation between the relationship in marriage and family with the relationship that God desires between us and him. And my message for both of those books is, if you're not doing it right in your marriage and your family, there's no way that you're doing it right with God.
That's right. That's right. So since you went there, We're going to go there.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So why do you think a lot of our fellow preachers, why has a lot of the homes got out of order, the marriages, their relationship, their neglect, the relationship with their wives, or wives neglecting the relationship with their husbands, forsaking that for doing the work of the ministry, not ministry, you know,
mm-hmm.
the work, you know, and it's not translating into fruits being bared from connecting with God. How would you go about making sure an individual don't fall into those type of snares and devices of the enemy?
Well, I think it's important that we really understand what marriage is supposed to be about, that relationship, and as it relates to the relationship that God expects between us and Him. As we know, according to the Word of God, the first relationship God created was between Him and man when He created man. And then the second relationship was man and woman in marriage. Again, the key is that He created the relationship first between God and man, which is, again, that's the foundation. So if there is no foundation within either party going into that in that marital relationship based upon God, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be some problems. Yes, sir. I use the scripture to establish that first book as well. It comes from Psalm 127, 1A, where it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it."
Mm.
So the marriage, it should be foundationally strong in the Lord with each individual before they even get to the point of "I do."
Mm.
And then I really believe that, unfortunately, people don't really go about going into marriage the way that they should, because, you know, there's no great teaching on this, and I want to say that's the reason why people are missing that. But, you know, we go into the relationship because of two things, and we call it love. But there's two different distinctions in these loves that we know, that man knows. And one is feelings, which is, you know, based upon how you feel about somebody. In the Greek, they call it philios. That thing is it changes. It can change from one moment to a moment, and it certainly can change over time.
Brother.
And the other is, sexual attraction, or erotica, or eros.
Yeah.
That changes as well. But those are the things that those are the two types of love that if you talk to someone about love, it's going to either come out of them feelings, or it's going to come out of that physical attraction to someone. And those are not the type of love, that's not the type of love that we should be building that relationship upon.
Come on now.
Now, the love that we need to be focusing in on, that's the love that comes from God. That's why He has to build the house. It has to come from Him. And we know that to be agape, or unconditional love. And when you do that, there's a lot more involved to it than just, talking to somebody and seeing what they like and what you don't like. You got to really talk to them and communicate. I say communicate with them more so than talk. Communicate with them about everything pertaining to you before you get into that point where you're standing before wherever you're going to be, either in church or justice of a peace, before you say "I do." You need to have had strong, honest, open communication and really get to know that person. And that's what I think the big failure is that that's not being done. And people are coming into relationships believing that, well, I don't want to tell everything. Well, no, you can't go into that relationship in secret with secrets.
Come on now.
The Bible says that, and then here's where we tie in a correlation with God, that He is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
There's no secrets. God is all-knowing, and He knows everything, but He still wants us to openly confess our faults and our sins before Him, because He wants to have an intimate, personal relationship with Him. And so it should be in our marriages. We should be open and honest, and then you'll find yourself at the state where when God joined Adam and Eve together in the garden, Adam, after he looked upon Adam and said that, you know, it's not good for man to be alone, because, you know, Adam had named every creation that God brought before him, male and female of every kind. God brought that before Adam, and Adam named every one of them, but there was no helper or helpmeet found for Adam, suitable for Adam. So God caused a deep sleep to come upon him. Of course, we're in Genesis, and in the second chapter, and he took from a rib from Adam, and he formed woman out of Adam. And then Adam woke up and says, well, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, so therefore you're woman. And the Bible says, so shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh, and they both were naked and not ashamed. That's where I really tie into that particular verse there about not having any secrets, and the reason why that relationship is similar to what God desires with us. When you confess your faults before God, you can be naked and not ashamed, because you don't have nothing to hide. There's nothing for you to be ashamed of when everything is known about you. And that's the way it should be in a relationship. And I don't think that's happening. That's not something that's being taught, in the homes, from the parents growing up. It's not something that's I don't think is generally focused in a lot of churches in teaching, because I don't think people understand this, how simple it is. If we looked at the Bible and we looked at these two relationships, it would be easy to explain people why God desires the type of relationship that he desires between us and him, when we understand the relationships that we should have between us and a man and a woman in marriage and in family.
Amen. 347-945-5416. You're listening to Minister Arthur Weathersby, amen, author of Unless God Builds a House. Check the DNA, What Happened to We Are the Family. You can definitely call in. You have your relationship questions. You have you need some counsel for marriage. He's a man of God who God has given him revelation for such a time as this concerning the areas of relationship. He's authored two books as well, also a minister of the gospel. He holds no punches, amen. So definitely press 1 at any time if you have any questions concerning that. You got that husband, and he say he's a man of God, and now he acting all crazy with you. You need to press 1. Amen. You got a man of God on here who will definitely help you in that area. Or sister, you having a problem with your flesh. Amen. How can you keep this thing under subjection? Amen. You need the word of God. Amen. But, you know, you got this man in your head telling you lies. Hey, push 1. Let the man of God give you some counsel. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So, yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Also, you ministry leader, amen. You not on one accord with your wife. There's something wrong with that, amen. And it's hindering the flow of the Spirit in your sermon. You need to press 1, amen. You need to press 1, amen. And pride goes before, thank you. Pride goes before the fall, amen. So don't be prideful. Press 1,
that's
amen,
right,
and get your breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the man of God, you was up in Genesis just now.
Yes, sir.
And so that brings me to, since we're in the relationship area, your backyard, we're going to kick around there for a minute. Now we know in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 2, around 15th verse, we know that, you know, the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So now we know that before the woman comes along, man was identified by what he does. So a lot of time, you know, us church brothers, you know, you get around, hey, Doc, how you doing, man, where you working at now? Man, I work for the city, man, and we men, we say that kind of proud, you know, because we like to identify with our jobs. But, you know, I know you counsel some brothers, and then, oh, Doc, I lost my job, and it seemed like the whole world has fallen down because they made the mistake of identifying themselves with their job. Like Adam did. Adam was identified by what he did in the garden before Eve came. And so now how we as men do we transition from being garden workers, garden keepers, We know how to keep the garden, but how do we keep the woman?
I'm sorry, what was the latter part of that question?
I said we know how to keep the garden. We know how to keep the garden and dress it, you know, as far as our jobs and things of that nature. How do we keep the woman? How do we keep that woman of God happy, complete, you know? How do we do that?
Amen. Well, I believe it's in Ephesians somewhere where the Bible tells us that the husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. Understanding that here's something else that I think that we kind of get a little thrown off track somewhat in our relationship in marriage. The idea that, okay, well, the wife, she's the lesser vessel, she's the weaker vessel, and she's the man is the head of the household. And so a lot of us have been taught over the years through generations, that the man is, you know, he's in charge of everything. And so therefore him being in charge, then he takes on a certain kind of attitude. It's my way or the highway. I'm the one in charge. I'm the one that's the head of the house. I'm the man. That's good. But the Bible tells me that when God joined man to, and woman together in Genesis, and it's in that 24th, I believe, the 24th verse. Yes. And I read from the, because I read it, I said it a little earlier, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I tell people that does not, nowhere in there can you find anything to support, a wife being subordinate, of being more or less like a slave or somewhat to the husband, because that's kind of a mentality that's been taught throughout generations to various different cultures. They actually believe that because that's how they would raised. That the man rules the household, and that's not taken away from, you know, God is a God of order. That's not taken away from the order that God has established for leadership in the home. But again, woman was designed to be a helpmeet to a man. I had the distinct opportunity, and it was a blessing. Early on, like I said, in my conversion, we had a young man, a minister of the gospel. He was about 25 years old. He came in and he preached for our youth day or something like that, I believe. And in the midst of that, he was explaining how he knew that his ministry flowed through his wife. And he talked about the things that he did that were not something that was that was actually scripted that he should be doing, you know, such as getting birthday cards or even Valentine's Day cards or anniversary cards, you know, gifts or something like that. But just because he understood the relationship and the blessing that God gave him to have a wife. So my advice to, you know, when I talk to men or brothers about their relationship and their marriage, God is not going to change his order of things. But again, you have to understand the significance of why he gave you a wife. She's designed to help you, to be a helpmeet to you. And when you guys come together as one, you become as one flesh, that's a clear understanding for me as to why God designed a covenant relationship between us and him. Never, again, as it says in Matthew 19:6, that what God has joined together, let no man separate.
That's right.
It was never designed for the relationship in marriage or in relationship with God to be separated or broken. And when you build that relationship based upon the fundamentals of the Bible and the agape love of God, then you understand that, yeah, there's going to be some you know, some moments that's going to try the relationship, because you're dealing with two individuals that have distinct personalities. That's going to happen. But that love that exists as the foundation for that relationship is the bond that keeps you together and allows you to work through those things, which I say that, unfortunately, what happens is that a lot of people don't have this notion or understanding that marriage is not something that is as glamorous or, you know, as is made out in, you know, in the movies or fairy tales. I mean, it has some beautiful moments to it, but, you know, the real test of the marriage is when the time comes where you have to do what I call dirty work.
Mm.
When the two of you have to really, really commit yourself to that relationship and do what's necessary to overcome those obstacles that come before you.
My Lord. Whew. Okay.
Yes,
347-945-5416. We have a lot of people listening in. Amen. I know folk, I even picked this up by way of the Spirit. I ain't going to push one. Folk ain't going to know I'm having a problem in my marriage. Look, that's why you need to press one. Okay, we
amen.
See you out there. Amen. That's why you need to press one. Amen. Because you need to fix your house already. Amen. And you're telling your girlfriend all your problems, and she don't even got the Spirit of God in her. Push one.
Oh,
let the man of God minister to you. Amen. That's his job. Amen. Let him minister to you in that area. Amen. Also, man of God, you've been neglecting your wife, amen. Why don't you go ahead and push one, amen. Get this straightened out tonight. Get your breakthrough, amen. You know, a part of spiritual maturity is knowing when you're wrong and when you need to get it right. For all my deep folks out there, amen. You know, you want to get deep, amen. This is time you bear some fruit in your walk. You can't take that junk into a new season. You can't take that junk into a new season. So let the minister, Arthur Weathers, be, amen, minister to you. This is his area, amen. This is part of his assignment for this last day, amen, in the area of relationships and marriages, amen. So you need somebody who is chosen, ordained, and purpose to minister to you in that area. We got a caller. Caller, welcome to Marital of God Empowerment Program. You're on with Minister Faith Walker and also our guest for this evening, Minister Weathers, be. In Jesus' name.
Praise God, praise God. How y'all two men of God doing this evening?
All right, sir. Praise God. Bless you, sir.
Oh, praise God, praise God. Yeah, I thank God for you, gentlemen. Glory to God. Minister Faith Walker there. Minister Weather be, glory to God. I thank God for you, and I'm listening on there, man. And I truly thank God. I live in an area here in the South that you have so many traditional churches and so many of them suppress women in ministry, glory to God. And a lot of them don't realize that level or that lack of maturity have them stagnated from the growth of their ministry, glory to God. So I truly thank God for you expounding on that, because, you know, so often we see, they wonder why we still got 15 members, you know what I mean? And you have so many young couples that's coming into ministry now, and they get smelled at a mile away. And a lot of times they think it's, you need the anointing to see that, but in the streets you call that game recognizing game. So when they come in and see you suppressing your woman, the first thing they're going to tell, the wife's going to tell the husband, I don't want to go there no more.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that's a big handicap to the body of Christ now, you know what I mean? And I truly think it's a message that needs to be taught and teach and preached to the nations, amen? So I thank God for the word that you're putting forth today. And I'm just sitting on the side of the line just eating as much as I can, because I can share it in my corner of the world, amen?
Praise God, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let the Weathers be. You can come right in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I just think it's just also important, again, because what we don't want to overlook is, like I'm saying, is that when you look at the scriptures and you really search the scriptures and allow them to open themselves up to you, it's not a real hidden secret, and it's not so deep that it cannot be understood. Our relationships are vital to our relationship. Our relationship in marriage and family are vital to our relationship with God. It's just really point blank. And if you want to be able to you know, to fully serve God and to receive the blessings that God has in store for you, and we're talking about kingdom blessings, then you have to line yourself up with God and His Word. And what happens is too many times we try to line God up with us, as opposed to us lining up with Him. God is not, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is His Word. It will not change. And God has a distinct plan and purpose for us, and we just have to follow the plan. It's real simple. It's not that difficult. I tell people, I knew early on in my ministry, about maybe a year or so after I got saved, I knew my ministry was going to be dealing with family and then eventually evolved into marriage. But I tell people straight up, there's no way, if you'd asked me 17 years ago or 16 years ago, to explain what I'm explaining now, that I would be able to explain it to you. God evolved me to this understanding, and I'm a very good observer of things that are around me. I pay attention and allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate things to me, and also I do have a perspective. I when I was unsaved many years ago, I was married. I've observed a lot of married couples, and I've also been in a church where we taught marriage and classes and single classes, and I have seen enough to know that we really have to make a consecrated effort to focus in on these relationships, because the enemy, the primary target that he's established for the believers, is our family and our marriages. Because he can't do anything with Jesus Christ, or
Amen.
He can't do anything with Him. But if he can break those two down, those two institutions down that deal with us, then for him that's his victory.
And
that's his victory, because he knows he has enough understanding to realize how crucial those relationships are. So he, you know, the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal our joy, kill our faith, and destroy our relationship with God. And that's what he does.
Amen. Now, hang on, Elder. You're gonna kick it with us for a moment. I think we got another caller. Caller, welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. You have Minister Weathersby, myself, and also Elder in the house. What's your question?
This is Lady J, just calling in, saying congratulations to you, man of God.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, sis.
Spreading the truth on tonight. And I had a comment, I just praise and thank God, because I have watched, you know, so many young people just jump and get married, and then, you know, they went through preparation training after they got married, and arguments have started, and kids are involved, and just all these different things, and then even myself, you know, going through a divorce right now, but, you know, I think it's praise God for the truth, because there's so many people out there that really don't know what marriage is. They don't, and then when they go through a divorce, they just say, "Forget it. I don't want to get married again. That's it. I'm done." When they really knew, they never really knew the real essence of marriage. They really never knew what God really ordained it for. So
right.
And then, like you said earlier, they don't even know the purpose of why God brought them together. So it creates a lot of problems, especially in church.
Yes. Yes. And that's the sad story, and that's the sad truth, especially in the church. We are the worst examples of this, and we are set apart. We're supposed to be sanctified to set an example to the world, and we're not doing that. We're just not living up to what God has called us out of darkness for. And that's the sad part. And if we're to be the leaders, if we're to show people and allow that light within us to shine forth, then we have to get our house in order. And as it relates to our families and our marriages, and it's so vital and crucial to our relationship with the Lord, and also to our witness to other people. And when I say witness, I'm not talking about that verbal communication or talk that we might give somebody, because some folks might be testifying instead of testifying. But what I'm talking about when in the Bible says this, we've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light, so we are to walk in the light. Now, when we say walk, that's actually meaning live.
Come on.
That's right.
Live in what you live in your calling. Live in your relationship with the Lord. If he's called you out of darkness, which represents sin, into his marvelous light, which represents holiness, then we're to walk in the light, which is holiness. And God says this, that it's vital and crucial for you to understand that I need you to be holy because I'm holy. And
that's
I need
right.
you to be holy in all areas that pertain to you, because you've been bought with a price. Your life don't even belong to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You belong to me. Mm-hmm. And if you belong to me, you need to represent that. And mm-hmm. in that representation, it should be, one thing, I mean, one of the fallacies that we have sometimes, and I'm not going to be beating up on no churches or nothing like that or Christians, but the truth is sometimes that some of us, that the only time that you know we are Christian is on Sunday in church.
My God.
And
right.
then before you even get out of the church good, the real deal pops up. And then from Monday through Saturday, don't nobody know who you are.
Come on now.
And that's not because you're not saying anything. Again, it's not about your talk. It's about how you live your life. There's a lot of broken marriages and destroyed relationships, family relationships within the church, which is that ought not be so. That just ought not be so because, again, I like to throw out every now and then, I'll use some analogies and taking it from some things that God presents to me. The Mississippi Mass Choir has this song that their leader, the one that they use to lead this song on, her name is Ma Rainey. We have the Word. We have the Word. We have the Bible, the Word of God. We should know better. as if anybody should know anything, the believers in Christ should know it. And then some people will say, well, you know what? Well, we don't know everything. And it's hard to know everything. Well, yeah, that's true. That's why we have faith. But again, God, you know, and they'll spit out a scripture or two that'll support that, you know, them not knowing everything. And one of the scriptures that I know they'll spit out, because I did it too before, one of my people that I call, I call him my deacon from my home church. I was talking to him over the phone in Huntington, West Virginia, where I was staying, and he was in Newark, New Jersey. And we were talking about something. We might have been talking about purpose or something other. And I spit out that scripture that everybody likes to spit out when they don't, you know, when they say they don't know nothing. And that's 1 yes. Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse. And in the Amplified Bible, it reads like this. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has made and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. I spoke that scripture out so quick, and my deacon says, Brother Minister, that's not true. Just go to the next verse. And the 10th verse says this, yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. And the next verse goes like this. I'm going to go through the 14th verse. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truth with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him, and he is incapable of knowing them of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. So in other words, that 9th verse didn't have anything to do with the believer in Christ. That has to do with those folks that don't know the Lord, that are outside of the will of God, that are outside of the ark of safety. That don't have anything to do with a believer to say that I don't know. I don't know what God is trying to tell me. I don't know what my purpose is. Well, that's not true. If you yield yourself to the Spirit and the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer, then guess what? He will reveal everything to you because he talks 24/7.
That's right.
He speaks to us. It's just a matter of whether or not we incline our ear to hear. And as a matter of fact, 12 years ago on this very day, the Lord gave me my initial sermon that I preached on. I preached it on this day, and it was titled, Is He In You? And I took Romans 8th chapter, the 1st through the 17th verses, where I came up with the scriptures for that. And it just amazed me how he gave that to me, because you would not believe how it came to me. I tell you, you really wouldn't.
Lord have mercy. Amen.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. I'm not going to leave you guys hanging like that. Let me tell you what happened. Before I got saved, many, many years before I got saved, now you can't tell this from looking at any of my pictures on my Facebook page, except maybe one or two, but you really got to look hard and really see this. Back in the day, I used to be a baller. I could play some basketball. I was a point guard extraordinaire, I might say. I could do a little something on the court. And so I was a big fan of the NBA, which I still am. And I remember Michael Jordan, when he came into the league, they were doing a promotional marketing campaign with him with Gatorade. And they did a video with Michael, and they were asking him when they were getting ready to launch the promos or this campaign for that they were going to use Michael for as their lead. They asked Michael, they said, Michael, why is it that you're able to do all these exceedingly, you know, these great feats at the end of the game when everybody else don't seem to be able to do that? Michael says, well, you got to have something in you at the end of the game to finish. And Gatorade promotion, that campaign came out, was born as Is It In You?
Yes, sir.
You know, but once I got saved and as the Lord opened up my understanding, I clearly can't call the Holy Spirit an it, because it is not an it. It is the third person in the Trinity of God. And so therefore it became Is He In You?
Yes, Lord God.
Amen. We got about 10, 15 minutes left in our broadcast. Amen. We up here rocking out with Minister Arthur Weathersby, author of Unless God Builds the House. Also, check the DNA, What Happened to We Are the Family. Also, this man of God. Before I make that announcement, amen, tell us about, you know, the wedding date, amen. You actually about to walk the aisle, amen.
Well, we don't have a date yet, but we going down that aisle because there's no, yes, indeedy. We going down that aisle because, again, looking at the Word of God, I don't see nowhere in the Bible where it allows for you to be just a boo or my man, my woman.
Come on.
The relationship that God joined, that he established between a man and a woman, leads to marriage.
Like that.
So, mm-hmm. Yes, that's going to happen, and more than likely, Lord willing, sometime in early 2014.
Amen. They got all kinds of titles these days, Minister. They call them jump off. I was like, who want to jump off?
Bro,
jump off.
Yes, sir. Now, that don't even sound right. That don't even sound right.
A jump off.
You want to be in a jump off relationship. That means that you're just running around just jumping off all over the place.
Jumping off. Okay, got him.
I'm jumping off of this one, jumping off of that one.
Jumping off of that one.
Lord have mercy.
Jesus. Oh Lord, hey, I'm delivered from the spirit of the jump off, amen.
I know that's right.
Amen. That's not a good life.
And then, that's right, sir. And once you get delivered, ain't no sense in turning back. I mean, I preached a message some time back from Exodus the 14th chapter, the 10 through the 14th verse, and it said, "I refuse to go back to Egypt."
Amen.
Glory.
You better say so now.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So tell us about your fiance, amen. I should have had her on here, amen.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, tell us about the woman of God. Is she available, or is she by you, or?
No, actually, no, sir. I'm here in Wilmington, Delaware, and right now she's currently in Columbus, Ohio. Matter of fact, she's probably at her church She's a pastor. Her name is Sherry O'Scales, and she's a pastor of Sound the Alarm Ministries in Columbus, Ohio. And they were doing prayer. Well, she might be done now. They were doing prayer and Bible study service tonight. Yes.
Man of God, I see why you get married. He said that was just happy. She's coming out of prayer. She's probably coming out of prayer. That to a man of God that has that or either waiting on something like that, that's music to his ears. You know, coming out of prayer, she is a pastor. Ooh, I know why you can't wait to walk down the aisle.
Well, you know what? I thank God that He does when we allow Him to. Again, one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the 5th through the 6th verse. When you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding and all your ways, acknowledge Him, He'll direct your path. Well, when we allow Him to entrust in God with all our hearts, He won't withhold no good thing from us. That's Psalms 84 and 11. So I just thank God that, that He found me and deemed me worthy for me to receive a treasure and an anointed woman of God. And I was under the weather last night, so I wasn't able to participate in Spiritual Sunday last night. But I listened to the broadcast again today. Oh yeah.
Fiance was she was going in by the Spirit of the Lord.
Well, that's how she operates, bro. I thank God for that.
Hey, God,
amen.
Shout out
I
to
know
Pastor
I'm
Sherry.
I
Shout
know
out to
I'm
Pastor
blessed.
Sherry. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And Sister Levine and all the saints over there that does the Spiritual Sunday. Minister Cheryl Miller. Shout out to GQ Palace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, it's a blessing. I just thank God, and I'm looking forward to when the Lord brings us together. We already one in the spirit. We're doing the things that the Lord showed me what needs to be done in relationships, and I thank God that I've been true to that. We're doing that, and God is just doing a great thing.
Okay. All right. Amen. So, Minister Weatherby, I'm almost calling him Pastor. Let's see, I'm about to call him Pastor.
Hey.
You know what? Before we go into the next discussion concerning you and
yes, sir.
Pastor Sherry, hey, what's next for you? Has God revealed the anointing that for you walking in?
Yeah, I truly do. As I use that scripture, I know my purpose. I know my purpose in the Lord. He's yet moving me towards that direction. I'm currently working on that third book, dealing with the relationship, the greater relationship that deals between us and Him. And we're going to get into that Romans the 6th chapter a lot, and some other scriptures as well, so that we're very clear about what God expects for us once we come into relationship with Him, because I know we like to say, now there is no for and no condemnation, for them that are in Christ Jesus, but sometimes people just overlook what the rest of that, even that first scripture says. Let me just snatch it real quick, because I think that's crucial to our understanding of what God expects of us once you get saved. Because a lot of people think that once they get saved, it's like, I done made it. And I thank God I made it. Well, no, you ain't made it. You're just in the right position. absolutely. Because there's work that has to be done. And the scripture says, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judging guilty or wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. And here it says, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the spirit.
Okay, let me ask you something, because we're running out of time, and I got another question. I'm trying to get this in, and
go ahead, sir.
Definitely this Saturday, Minister Weathers being Pastor Sherry, they'll be on premiering on a brand new program, Unless the Lord Builds the House. So definitely. Tell your friends, your girlfriends, your pastor, your evangelist, tell all them single folks, amen, to call in and listen to good word of God teaching, amen, on marriage and relationships, amen. Not somebody who ain't walking in it, somebody who actually following the blueprint, amen, and experiencing a lot of success because of following the blueprint, by all glory being to God, amen. But what are the dangers? And I'm going to say this, and we're going to get ready to get your information. And sure. And what's the dangers of shacking up?
Being outside of the will of God is number one. and clearly, I think if I'm not mistaken, the Word of God says no fornicator, idolater, or adulteress, a murderer, you can't even inherit the kingdom.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you're shacking up, you're outside of the will of God, period.
But I talk good, though.
You're outside of the will of God, period.
But I go to church on Sundays.
Yeah, but it's not what you do. It's not, well, I shouldn't say that. Going through the motions is one thing. God desires that we be, real with him. Your obedience is better than your sacrifice.
But I've been a part of the church for 15 years.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something that that Sherry always says a lot of. You may know the word, but does the word have you?
But my mama pastor.
Yeah, but your mama's not going to be able to get you into heaven. You got to give an account. You got to give your own personal account for the actions and deeds that you do within your body. And again, here's the key. Once you come into the knowledge of understanding what God expects of you, then you're going to be held accountable. So there's no excuse that we can come up with, none. And matter of fact, I'd be anxious to see somebody try to stand before God and try to explain to them because they can't say that, well, you know, God, I didn't know. No, that's not true.
But only God can judge me.
Oh, and he will. and he will, and he already has, believe it or not. Now, the Bible, oh, my God, yes, judging. The Bible tells us, and people were quick to say, well, we can't judge. Well, that's not true. Within the household of faith, within the body of believers, we are able to judge. The point is that we can't judge anybody outside the body, and the reason being is that we can't condemn no one.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the right to condemn anyone.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, God don't need us to condemn anyone. He does already. He says the wages of sin is death.
Oh, Jesus. I got to stop before I ask you something else, amen. I guess we just going to have to tune in on Saturday, amen.
Yes, sir. Then you can call in and ask that question on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm a call in, amen. I'm a call
praise
in,
God.
Amen. Go ahead and give out your information, your Facebook, Twitter, all of that good stuff. And for those who are listening, you can definitely catch this man of God here on EMG Saturday night. And you know the scary part about it? Y'all ain't even met Pastor Sherry yet. Lord have mercy. Y'all really don't know what y'all getting in. Y'all just met the covering. Y'all ain't even met the helpmate. And boy, what a help
Lord.
She is.
We are one, I can tell you that, and she's powerful, she's awesome. Yeah, you can reach me on Minister Arthur L. Weathersby on Facebook. I also have a Twitter account at AL Weathersby, let's see, my books are available through various outlets online. You can go to the publisher, ZulonPress.com. That's my preferred one if people want to help to support me, do whatever I try to do ministry-wise. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, those two have it on ebook as well as paperback. Booksamillion.com, Googlebooks.com, and ChristianBooks.com. All those outlets have the books available for purchase. And they're not long reads. The first book is about 37 pages, I believe, and the second is 41.
Because
I didn't need to make it long. I just need to make it plain.
Ooh. Oh, have mercy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, have mercy. Man, we bless God. We We don't went over our time, but we bless God tonight. Amen. The phone lines jam. Amen. Folks are listening. Amen. You can tell
praise
when you're doing
Lord.
A good job. Folks don't got to call in and ask you too much. Amen. They should never be listening to you. Amen. So we thank God for y'all who are listening on the line. Amen. You should have pushed one, though. Amen. But we thank God for you and those of you who are listening via internet on blogtalkradio.com/onthespotnathan. We thank God for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. This man of God will be back Saturday. Mark your calendar this Saturday. And you will be introduced, all my EMG listeners, to Pastor Sherry Scales. Amen. This woman of God, along with him, these are God's power couple for these last days. Amen. I have warned you. Be back here at 9 o'clock. Hey, you backslider, don't go to the club, all right? You got good conversation waiting for you on Saturday, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You don't need to go, hey, bruh, you don't need to call your boys up, amen, and you don't need to go to no strip club. You need
That's
to listen
right.
to Unless God Builds the House, amen. The Lord builds the house, amen.
Yes.
You need to get some sound teaching, amen, by way of the Spirit of God, amen, and let some real folks impart God's anointing into your life, amen. So I bless you, man of God, amen. And I'm going to definitely tell folks if, you know, I know EMG, they definitely excited. I know Prince Redeem, Lady J, Leticia, and all the rest of the saints and all the rest of our ministry affiliates who listen in and who follow us, amen. I know they're definitely excited, amen. Those who know your wife, well, I'm going to call it like it is, your wife and yourself, amen, we definitely look forward to this broadcast. We know that important thing, it will bless the people of God in the areas of kingdom living and marriage, and that is something that God has purposed and anointed you to do. So we definitely bless you, man of God.
Well, I thank you, sir. Thank you very much, and EMG family for welcoming me, allowing me to be a part of the ministry here. And what I tell people, you know, in all things, to God be the glory for the great things he has done, he is doing, he will do, through you, me, us, for the edifying, uplifting, and building of his kingdom. It ain't about me, but it's all about him.
Amen. Oh, my God. I really love this brother in Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, saints of the Most High God, brothers and sisters, fivefold ministers, this has been Minister Arthur Weathersby. Yes, definitely catch him back and Pastor Sherry on Saturday night. Amen. This has been another broadcast of the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. If you have any questions concerning any of our broadcasting, you can contact Pastor Hill at NathanOnTheSpot@Outlook.com. Amen. And we thank God for you, all our ministry affiliates. Amen. If you desire sponsorship on our program, also contact Lady J at emgpresident@gmail.com, or you can contact Prince Redeem at inappraisementvp@gmail.com. Also, Ambassador Leticia, also at emgambassador@gmail.com. We thank God for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that the Lord will bless you. You take the words, the jewels that were spit on tonight, and you impart them into your life. We come against shacking up. We come against fornication, sexual immorality. We come against those works of the flesh by way of God's anointing. This day in Jesus' name, you will walk circumspectly. Your conversation will be seasoned with salt. You will live a holy and sanctified life in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare and we decree it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God. Cover Pastor Sherry wherever she's at, Lord God, at the house of the Lord, even as she communes back and forth, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that you have chosen her for such a time as this, and this man of God, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Let many souls be taught by the way of your Spirit, God, on the broadcast on Saturday night, Lord God. We thank you, God, for what you have set in order at such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Minister Weathersby. Amen. Hate to let you go. Amen.
That's all right, sir. God bless you too, Minister Faith Walker.
Amen. God bless. God night. Amen.
Good night.
Amen.
flesh is a weak thing that has little restraint. I'm liable to draw faint, but in the Lord my strength is regained. And at the cross, lost and the lost, and I claim the victory as I shout and praise my God. I repent, I turn away, no longer does sin have its hold on me, through your precious amazing grace. And yes, it's a choice that I make each day, to hear your still small voice. Listen, trust, follow and obey. I repent of my sin and turn away. I do not battle this fight alone. I'm with the Lord, I am His own. I do not battle this fight alone. I draw on strength when I bow down at His throne. Turn away, no longer does sin have its hold on me, through your precious amazing grace. And yes, it's a choice that I make each day, to hear your still small voice. Listen, trust, follow and obey. I repent of my sin and turn away. I repent of my sin and turn away.